She's like fucking, yeah!
Yeah, yeah!
like she's about to mongol my cock!
Cocaine! March 20th, 2024, this is Rare Encounter, encounter number 181, and eating straight from the hot tub, I'm Abel Kirby.
And going after Texas Red, I'm Cold Acid.
Texas Red has no chance when you're there. No, the 22nd? Yeah. The 23rd?
I'm a Ranger.
You're a Ranger.
I got Big Iron.
Big Iron on his hip.
Big Iron between my legs.
Jeez. I heard you had a cyber sex change on the pre-show.
No. Who told you that?
Oh, is that someone else then?
Yeah, it must have been someone else.
Okay. No, there's a robot introduced himself on the show, I think, and did something. I don't know. I didn't catch the beginning. It sounded kind of weird. I thought maybe you knew something about it.
Hmm. Yeah, that was just...
Hello, Mr. Robot.
Hello.
Oh, man. I saw it right before I got on. I saw some news from the 401 right up in your area.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy thing is, like, I got off work early, and I would have seen that if it was still ongoing at that time. They had it cleaned up before I came through there. That interchange is close to home. It's where I get off the 401 on Wednesdays because it gets me closest to the burrito place.
Aha. Yeah. What we're talking about is on the 401 up in Cold Ass's neck of the woods, they had a tactical armored patrol vehicle, military big truck rolled over on the highway. And it looks like it sort of did a self-inflicted thing, trying to stop too short, and ended up sideways. Unfortunately,
it was probably due to the weather conditions. Today, this whole area has been pretty crazy, where it'll be sunny with a few clouds, and then like 30 seconds later, it's whiteout conditions in snow, and then just as quickly, it's clear again. And it's been like that all afternoon. My drive from work today was kind of hectic thanks to it. So I could see them like getting blinded, trying to like, you know, slow down or something, and losing control and rolling over.
Yeah, the skid marks on the road really tell a story there. You can see where the brakes went on and you can see where the tires went sideways.
Yeah. And it's not like these things have a low center of gravity,
no.
Right? Like these things are like up over their axles and everything. Like they are awkward looking.
Exactly. Even. Yeah, I'm surprised more SUVs don't tip over, because they have the same sort of problem where you have, you know, an SUV wants to be 7 feet tall, right? But people, they also want it to get good gas mileage, so they have to lightweight it. When they do that, the center gravity gets higher.
So you know, I have a Nissan Rogue, right? And this is like Babby's first SUV, essentially, is the design. And even at like 40 clicks, going on a sharpish turn, I'm like, oh shit, please don't roll over, please don't roll over, please don't roll over.
Yeah, I like those little ground hugger small cars. I'm a small car guy, as people who know me in real life know. I've always had a small car. Even when I had a truck, it was a small truck. And I'm a big fan of finding those little parking spaces. And I also enjoy having a small truck coming from New England. I could drive it into trails sometimes. In between trees, a bigger vehicle couldn't get down. So
yeah, so for me, I like having a vehicle that has me high up for various reasons. And one of those is I've driven along things where if I had a vehicle whose body was any lower than the Rogue's, I would not have been able to get through places.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was one time where, even with how high up an SUV is, I still got stuck in a rut and needed to get a tow truck to pull me out of it.
Yes, I remember that event. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, if I had a pickup truck, I would probably get it jacked. Just for the extra height. I would also make sure that if I got like a Jeep or a pickup truck, I would get a what do they call it that has like the metal cable and you can like loop it around a tree and shit and pull it yourself.
A winch.
Yes, a winch.
Yes. Not to be confused with a wench.
I wouldn't mind one of those either. She can ride in the passenger seat.
The problem with the lifted trucks, if you might be okay where you are, but back when we started the show, I was in Maryland in the close to the Baltimore area, and they were every single night that your catalytic converter was at risk. These people would go out and they with a sawzall, and in a couple seconds, you know, under a minute, they could zip zip cut through everything, and they'd walk away with your catalytic converter. And anyway, if your truck was off the ground, it was so much easier. So they went for those first. And then if your car was really low, they couldn't get under there. It was too much trouble, so they'd skip you. So I
so you know what the solution is, right?
Shooting people.
A different solution. Shooting people. Yeah. You know what it is? It's holy fuck, my tongue's not working.
You big a dig thing.
Yeah, you dig a pit, right? that's big enough to drive in and drive out of, and then you fill it with water. What? And you just park there, right? If they want your catalytic converter, well, they're gonna have to risk drowning to get it.
So
drowning
wait,
in mud.
Is the car submerged, or is this like a car moat?
It kind of, yes.
A car moat, okay.
It's kind of both. I mean, you have it dug, so it's just like, you know, you drive in, you drive out of it. It's just deep enough so that like the water level is just under the door, right? So it's still low enough that you don't have to worry about like anything getting flooded out or anything. But anybody who wants to get under your vehicle is going for a swim.
It's pretty ingenious, I guess. When you leave, can you go, drive in, drive out, I'm leaving. Can you do one of those?
You know what you can... No, you know what you can do? You can do, like, those 90s, early 2000s truck commercials where, like, you know, see the trucks going through and, like, through the puddle and, like, huge bunch of water going up, right? And Like a Rock is playing.
Do you think Dave Matthews ever went to a drive-in and then drove out and said, I'm leaving? I'm just asking. Because he had that song. He had that stupid song, right? Drive in, drive out, I'm leaving. However he did
it. Yeah, I don't remember that song. I might have repressed the memories.
It was not a great song.
I do remember the Like a Rock song from...
I like
who
that.
Who was it? It wasn't
Chevy,
GM.
Wasn't it Chevy? Like a
was
Rock?
It? Yeah, I think it was Chevy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Like a Rock.
Like a Rock. Oh, Like a Rock.
Chevrolet Trucks Like a Rock commercial. I could play that. Let me pop that on. We'll have a little fair use fun on sure. This show. We don't do this enough. I think
we're not sponsored.
30 seconds will be fair. Let's try this.
America is still the land of rugged individualists.
Yes.
Yes.
I was strong as I could be. I go around. Nothing ever got to me.
And every one of them demands something different from their Chevy truck. But they all want the same thing. The most dependable, longest lasting trucks on the road.
That is great. I forgot about that commercial.
That is peak 90s America right there.
Followed by a McDonald's ad, I suppose.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, man.
From back before we were loving it.
We had so much happen since our last show. I do want to make sure we get this in early in the show. Terrible news. Akira Toriyama passed away.
Yeah. I heard that was pretty sad. Somebody I spoke about Sweet Baby already, right? One of their hacks was like fucking mocking his death even.
Yeah.
Which pissed me off. And I mean, I don't think it's safe for that particular person to go like anywhere south of like the Midwest US. Because, you know, they go to Mexico or anywhere else in Latin America, they will get executed. Not even by the cartels, just from the regular people, because fucking Latin America loves Dragon Ball.
Now, I have a picture in my notes from Buenos Aires, where they had...
Yeah, I saw that.
This was from, I think it was the day after he passed away. I took the screenshot. It was for last show, but we didn't do a show last week. It was 30,000 Dragon Ball fans gathered at the obelisk in Buenos Aires to perform the, I believe this is their...
Genki Dama?
Genki Dama is the transformation dance that they do, right? I wasn't sure exactly what that was.
I don't remember. I personally was not really a big Dragon Ball person at all.
I never watched it in Japanese. So I have to actually look this stupid thing up. Anyway, they did something to see him off.
I heard rumors that there's a town in Mexico where they're actually going to like erect a statue to him. But that might just be one of those like internet rumors, right?
I see.
Be pretty cool if they did, though.
I'd like to see the source for that, because that would be kind of a cool thing to show up and see one day.
Now, the thing, I don't have, like I said, it's probably just an internet rumor.
It's the spirit
now,
bomb.
Now, something I don't actually have a source to, but I've heard many times, to the point where I think it's more than just a rumor, is that every time an episode or chapter dropped of Dragon Ball, like, pretty much all the Mexican cartel activity would, like, essentially cease for 24 hours.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. I've never heard that.
That's how much they're into Dragon Ball down there.
Yeah. Genki Dama was the spirit bomb in English. That's why I didn't recognize it.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that from the show, obviously, but I only watched the English version when I was a kid. Let's see. Yeah, RIP Akira Toriyama. I went and read a little bit of some of his other manga, actually. Prior to Dragon Ball, he had some stuff out. It was kind of fun.
Dr. Sleep was one of his.
Yep. Then I didn't see anything after Dragon Ball. It's like my entire understanding of Akira Toriyama. Oh, was that in Chrono Trigger? That's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah, pretty much after Dragon Ball, I don't think he did anything in the anime and manga sphere other than more Dragon Ball.
Right.
Because they wouldn't let him do anything else. But yeah, he was involved with like the Dragon Quest games as character designer. And yes, his one foray with Square was Chrono Trigger, because he did the character designs for that too.
Yes, he did. And that's why they all look like Dragon Ball characters.
Yeah. They have that style.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else do we got going on?
We got some slander.
Uh-oh.
We got some slander to cover. Yeah. So the you know about gushing over magical girls, right?
I know about the people who do it. Is this a podcast?
It's an anime based on a manga. It's the one with the girl who wanted to be a magical girl but ended up being a villain.
Oh, okay, I've heard of this.
And she's like looting all the other magical girls.
Yes, I'm aware of this property.
So Anime News Network, like they're throwing shade on the person behind it, essentially insinuating that that person is a child predator. And then they're sick and they're taking a hiatus to recover. And ANN goes, oh, who's sick? Well, let's hope he gets better. Yeah.
So recently there's been a lot of talk about the franchise gushing over magical girls. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the anime has been very well received, and the success of the anime has also promoted the manga, which many people have reported the anime is actually much lewder than the manga. However, the interest in this franchise has generated so much hype that the Gushing Over Magical Girls manga has actually sold so well it's out of print in Japan. Now, related to that, we have some news coming from Anime News Network reporting that the Gushing Over Magical Girls manga is going on hiatus due to the author Akira Ananaka's poor health. Now, of course, that's bad news for people who are enjoying the manga, but I point this out because Anime News Network, in their report about this and their best wishes they're attempting to send towards this creator, are very hypocritical. Because not that long ago, in a review of a recent episode where they introduced the character Korisu, one of their reporters had this to say about the series and its creator. So here's the quote saying, "Fortunately for a given value of fortunate, for now, Korisu has mostly just been adjacent to Gushing's graphic antics. She still gets nudied up transformation sequence into a villain costume based off of Alice in Wonderland. Fittingly, when you think about it, and there are more parallels between that piece of literary canon and this anime, apart from being works made by people who are clearly attracted to kids." Where, of course, this section is referring to the creator of the manga series Ananaka and basically implying that he is a predator, which I think on any decent assumption about the related terms, many people would consider slander. And something very disgusting to say about this manga creator, especially disgusting when you turn around and make an article shortly after, wishing him the best as he returns to some better status with his health. Absolutely ridiculous, but then again, this is Anime News Network. It's not something that's too surprising, and they're just known for this kind of garbage.
Yeah, Anime News Network is essentially Game Journos, but anime.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to them at all.
It's still disgusting that they do things like this.
Well, they probably wrote the first article because they wanted clicks.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course they wrote it all because they want clicks.
Yeah, I don't know what more to say. I mean, I remember meeting some people from there and they seemed okay, but you know, it's not hard-hitting journalism. It's anime gossip and entertainment news.
It's like games journalism, where the people who are writing stuff for these sites, they don't care about about their subjects at all. They just care about their politics and will shit on everything good just for clicks or pushing their agendas. You know why all these journalists get away with it?
Why?
Because nobody goes out and does glowy things to them for their bullshit. That's what I think.
I see 22 articles posted today, okay? And I'm sure there are 22 articles posted yesterday. And 22 articles posted the day before. And they all can't be good. They're probably all written by the same five people.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, well, if there ever became an actually interesting source of, you know, anime industry news and how things are going with different shows, you know, I think I'd be interested in that, but I don't have a lot of patience for it. It just feels like fluff.
Right now, like, these sort of things are really kind of sticking in my craw with the push towards Gamergate 2. Sweet Baby Boogaloo.
Yeah, I'm still. I have not changed my opinion at all on that. I feel like it's absolutely nothing.
I feel like this stuff is just, you know, getting under my skin more easily than it would have like 2 months ago.
I think it's an absolute nothing to see here kind of moment. And, you know, we're talking about games produced by Warner Brothers. And it's okay if you buy a game made by this studio, this AAA studio, as long as Sweet Baby didn't work on it. Oh, well, then it's safe to give them your money. It's such bullshit. Like,
some people might think like that, but me, I am on record, man, as being like, fuck AAA and AAA plus titles. Go play indie games instead. Even if they don't have the same, like, politics or opinion as you, they're still these days so much better than the mega million-dollar budget crap that they just shovel out of the big studios these
right
days.
So I think kind of the same way, and what I see for all of the Gamergate 2 crap, it's all just hypocrites who they whine about the fact that a consultant was hired to do something that they don't they don't understand and they don't have full visibility to know what really happened in there. Clearly, Sweet Baby Inc. isn't associated with all the games with woke shit going on. So they're not the progenitor of it all, right?
No,
they're just people working in the industry.
You need to see Kirsch's stream about it, because she kind of covered that. Same with Asmongold. They're both like, yeah, this is just one, but there's many of these agencies, and half of it is grift, and half of it is like actually trying to wokeify stuff.
No,
in the case of SBI, it's probably even more towards wokeifying things, given the connections that particular agency has to certain personalities on the SJW side during the first Gamergate. But a lot of it, yeah, it's grift, because hey, you can get money, and this was covered actually. Something I want to bring up is, I forget the name of it, but there was this lesbian witch kind of game that was being discussed on Curse's stream last night. And yeah, it seems dumb, but at the same time, I'm now actually interested in trying it out. And it's this game where you have to play, like, you can only do like 3 to 5 minutes of play each day over a 28-day period.
Wow.
If you miss a day, well, the game continues on without you. And like, you see this animation, you get some platitude, and you get to choose whether to make this comet move closer to Earth or further away from it. And at the end, either you've saved Earth or you've destroyed the planet using the comet.
It sounds
dumb. It looks ridiculous, but at the same time, like, this is not something you would get out of a AAA title these days. It definitely feels like it has more originality than your typical AAA title. And even though it's by like one of the SJW developers out there, and like is full of the sort of like SJW nonsense in it, it's still, like I said, even if you don't agree with the creator's politics or whatever message is being pushed in the game, a lot of these indie games are still a lot better than any AAA title that's come out in like the last 18 to 24 months.
I can second that. I do enjoy some things on itch.io. I should bring back some games, some recent games that I played on there.
Yeah, we should do that again. Speaking of
okay,
itch and games and indie games, Toronto Game Jam has its dates announced for 2024.
Okay, when's that?
May 10th through 12th.
10th through 12th.
Yeah. So this year, that means it is not overlapping with Anime North, which I am actually going to be going to again for the first time in like almost a decade. So I will be able to participate with my dude Zalman to create a game again. And we already have an idea, and we're figuring out what exactly we're going to be building. So I'm kind of hype about this.
Okay.
Last year, I had to go it alone because of the overlap with Anime North. And what I put in was not complete. It was far from even being playable. But it was an interesting concept. The concept for 2023 was, we lost count. And it's like, you've got to like lose stuff. And so my idea was, I'd create an evacuation game where you've got this timer going, and you've got to go through the house and grab the stuff you're going to take with you as you evacuate, as your place is like burning down or exploding or something, right?
Yes, I played this game, by the way. I reviewed it on the show.
Yes, it's not a game. It's a demo.
It's a couple, right? It's a couple
not
menus.
Not even a demo, right? Because there's nothing in any of the rooms for you to grab.
I think I was trying to escape from the game, and the exit button didn't work.
Anyway, we're gonna have something that I think is pretty fun and would even be considered streamer bait if we can complete it. It's gonna be a pretty fun it's a pretty fun concept, honestly, I think. And I'm looking forward. I've been looking forward to making this as soon as I came up with the concept and ran it by Zalman a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I discovered something.
I don't want to spoil what's actually going to happen, right, with this game. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun and hilarious.
Did you know what rat grease is?
I've never heard of rat grease.
You've never heard of rat grease? I'm just wondering. We got some people in chat. I see Serpents in chat, Cotton Gin, Isobot saying a lot of things. Servo, okay. I'm just curious. Quick informal survey of everyone here. Does anyone know what rat grease is? Because I found out. This boy found out what rat grease is, and I'm about to share it with you all.
Uh-oh. What is it?
It is... Well, first, you have to know something about rats. And rats...
I know that they're not mice, so you can't hook them up to a computer.
I think mice actually have a rat grease-like feature also. And they're creatures of habit. And so when there's a mouse about or a rat about coming out of the wall, they come out of the wall in the same way every day. And they'll travel down the wall the same way. And when they go back into, they'll follow along the shelf or the baseboard in the same way. And they leave what some people call rub marks because the grease on the rat's fur rubs against the wall and leaves dark marks all over the place. And because they crisscross over this thing over and over and over. So if you're looking for evidence of a rat, you can look for the rat grease, which is bound to be about. And you can actually watch them, and I was watching videos of exterminators and pest control specialists discussing this. They actually can follow where the rat goes in its path, maybe to set a trap there or to change something, or maybe just to understand what this rat is up to, because they'll repeat the same motions over and over. They'll go out the same route, come back in the same route, and they leave a trail of rat grease.
Okay, so if I lean my head against the wall in the same place every day and just like rub it against there as I'm walking by this wall, would you say that the mark I left behind is human grease?
It could be.
Because I mean, that's the same shit. Like all of us like animals with fur and hair, right? They all have like this, these sebaceous glands that emit this, I don't think this is really the right word for it, but it like kind of lubricates the hair, right?
And it also enables different kinds of scent-based messaging, which you can't do if you don't have any hair because the scent doesn't stick around long enough. So
is that why bald guys are so popular with women? Because like they don't have the chud smell coming off of the hair they don't have.
I think it's why people like dogs, honestly.
We know why, not why people like cats. We know why people like cats. That's toxoplasmosis.
Yes, that's the mind control. But people like dogs. So the Carblane says the chud smell.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself for coming up with that one.
The chud smell. I didn't hear it the first time you said it, so I had to catch it in the rebound on the wayside, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's your tutorial on rat grease. And in that vein, I want to bring you to hot tubs.
Ooh, I like hot tubs. So long as they're clean. If they're not regularly cleaned, I don't like them because they get disgusting.
So I have encountered a very hot tub, as I like to call it. I've been eating a lot of cottage cheese right from the jar.
Oh, okay? No.
And right from the tub even. And I've been buying this cottage cheese. It's this Michigan brand large curd cottage cheese. They only have it at one supermarket in this area. And it's absolutely amazing. And I've always liked this cheese since I first had it. It's like the only cottage cheese I want.
And you're eating it
hot. Well, it's not temperature hot. So it's already good cheese, okay? But I got, I think, the freshest tub that I've ever had, where I opened it up and these curds were so soft, It was amazing. And I said to myself, Abel, that is a hot tub that you're eating. And I just wanted to share this. I had no idea cottage cheese could be that good. Like, fresh cottage cheese was amazing. And then just to tie it in with the rat grease, I wanted to point out the cottage cheese. I don't know where I was going with the rat grease.
You could heat your tub of cottage cheese on the rat grease.
And so I was thinking about how the cottage cheese, when it's really fresh, it is just absolutely the best. Okay. But there's another product. So there's also mayonnaise, which I use. I like a brand called Duke's Old Fashioned Mayonnaise. Not really promoting it. But what I noticed with mayonnaise was that it's not actually that great when it's fresh. It tastes better when you leave it in the fridge. And like it has a long shelf life, right? So like if you have that mayonnaise in the fridge for like a month and then you put it on a sandwich, it tastes way better.
Are you telling me that before now you've just been leaving your mayonnaise out?
No, it's in the fridge, but it's got to be aged a little bit. And so
okay.
Here's my conclusion. Okay, with cottage cheese, you want a hot tub. Okay, it's got to be ready. Yeah, it's got to be fresh. Okay, mayonnaise, it's got to be aged a little.
Okay, so mayonnaise is like wine, you're saying. It needs to be finely aged.
You have to try this. I don't know if it works for all the different types, but this particular mayonnaise, when you leave it out, it gets a little tang to it. And it's fantastic.
You do at least refrigerate your ketchup, right?
I do refrigerate ketchup when I have ketchup. I don't always have ketchup available.
Okay, good.
I actually refrigerate some of my hot sauces because I really like the cold hot sauce format.
Yes,
right?
that is a legit reason to like cold your hot sauces.
Yep, especially
because I know those you don't need to actually refrigerate.
It's like
technically you don't have to refrigerate ketchup either, but like you really should. It tastes best if it's refrigerated. I'm not really big on like when you have like the room temperature ketchup packets or the room temperature tube of ketchup on the table. It's a lot better when they bring you like the cold glass bottle of ketchup when you go to a restaurant.
Yeah, I haven't seen one of those glass bottles in a long time now.
Really?
I remember those. I know exactly what you're talking about. There was even a commercial, maybe it was by Heinz, one of the big ketchup manufacturers. That's funny how I say manufacturer instead of, it's not really,
big
it's
ketchup.
Big ketchup. It's machined like a car, like a rock. But they had the commercial where there's like no one can pour the ketchup out of the bottle because no one's patient enough. And then there's like the one guy at the table who can do it. He just said, oh, yes. And he holds the bottle still. And anyway, that's my ketchup story. That's my condiment story, I guess. I don't know where it was going. I really just wanted to share that with the world.
I don't really think that cottage cheese is a condiment. Mayo, yes. Cottage cheese is, well, it's obviously it's not like a main or a starter or something, but it's not a condiment either. It's an ingredient that can also be eaten on its own.
It's a finisher. Cottage cheese is what you want to take a big bite, a big spoonful of after you eat two or three tacos, like hot tacos with hot sauce or curry.
I'm not sold on that idea.
I did that last night. It was awesome.
Okay.
Anyway, I took just to close this out. I got a little silly and I took a photograph of my my cottage cheese and my mayonnaise and I put it in the show notes just for y'all to look at.
And it's a picture. It's a picture of all time for sure.
Maybe I should have put this on an FTP server. If you want to spin a story or something, I'll pop this on a FTP site so I can share it with the chat room.
It'll be in the show notes. Don't worry about that.
For sure.
I'm probably even going to use this picture when I do the post show toot.
Do you like my JFK scale thing. I mean, we could do a whole segment on this JFK rug that I have. Have we ever talked about that?
This is...
I mean, it's JFK, and if you look, he's not really scaled with the White House. His head is very large. And I don't know, Cold Acid, if you've ever been to either Capitol Hill or the White House lawn.
I've not been anywhere near Washington, and honestly, I'd like to keep it that way.
So if you look closely on a map, you'll find out the White House and Capitol Hill are not adjacent to each other. They're not like neighbors like they are in the picture. Where they're right next to each other.
I'm not as concerned about that as I am concerned about the fact that you were using John Fitzgerald Kennedy's head as a scale measurement for your cottage cheese and mayonnaise. I mean, I know Americans will use anything except the metric system, but this is like to the next level, dude.
Oh, thank you. Let me copy that in. I'll share it with the chat so they can enjoy it. What do you got for stories? You got anything to bring in?
Oh God, yeah, I got more to bring in. How about AI art? You want to talk AI art?
Yeah, that's a longtime favorite of Rare Encounter. We've been talking about AI art since the beginning. I mean, really early on, we did some bits about those waifu generators.
Yeah, we've also used AI art a few times for shits and giggles that ended up becoming covers of our episodes.
Right.
Right. Again, I'm going to bring VTubers into this. Pipkin Pippa did a recent stream. It was actually a sponsored stream, sponsored by Novel AI, which she's used in the past on her stream. And she was creating some characters. And, well, with the input of the stream chat. And she was saying, like, yeah, she's doing this because it's fun to do, but it's not a replacement for real artists. And I've seen a few other streamers are like, yeah, AI art, even as it improves, is not a replacement for getting good art done. If anything, it replaces the people at the bottom of the quality list. And then turns out, who are the people who are screaming the most about, oh, AI art is going to like kill us and everything? It's the people who are doing like shitty drawings in somebody else's style to draw characters from that somebody whose style they've duplicated in various erotic positions.
I see.
And so they're, of course, the ones that are actually threatened by this. And another good thing that I heard, I think this was on Legal Mindset's recent stream covering the crimes of Pipkin Pippa. And it was like somebody came up with a good comparison about AI art and its place in the actual production of things. Nobody complained about diesel trains removing people from having to shovel coal into the train engines.
No.
Right? And Pippa, she actually put out this good tweet shortly after her stream saying, please have fun with AI and elevate your ideas by commissioning real art.
I see.
And she was even saying that on the stream, like, yeah, it's fine to use things like Novel AI and SD and stuff to, like, just, you know, screw around, come up with something just for fun. But if you come up with something good, like, the AI should just be used to, you know, like, build the skeleton of what you actually want, and then get somebody who actually does real art to do the final work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. AI art is good for somebody like me who has absolutely no artistic talent, but has ideas of stuff that I want to see in my projects or in general, right? And so I can use like the AI art generators to come up with the concept of what I want as a finished work. And I can go, hey, here's some things that I generated here and based on the idea that I had. So you can use that to help like figure out like the actual thing. And there's still going to be the like back and forth with like the sketches and drafts, right? Before creating a final piece. It's just that the AI gives me a way of expressing it better than I can do with my own words, which as you and everybody who's been listening to the show for years knows, I'm not that good with words.
I see.
Despite me using them all the time. Anyway, yeah, so the usual Twitter cry-bullies came out like, oh, Pippa's against artists because she's using AI in her streams for funsies, despite the fact that she is even saying in her streams and on Twitter, just use this for funsies and get real artists to do real stuff, right? And it's like, fuck off, fucking tourists, man. Fucking tourists.
Yeah.
Anyway, the fake VTuber agency that Pippa created and then got kicked out of for being a sex pest, well, there's two new girls now for it.
Okay.
One is a blueberry wizard girl, and the other is a Mesugaki marmot girl with strawberries.
Is there a picture? I have no idea what's with strawberry supposed to mean.
Like she has strawberry red hair. She has like strawberry shaped hair clips.
Okay. So nothing to like do with real strawberries.
Strawberry highlights the same way the other girl, Susie Blue, has like blueberries on her hat and like a blueberry slime pet. Mm.
Cool. Well, yeah. The degeneracy continues. That's all I have to say.
Well, yeah, whenever I'm involved, the degeneracy always continues. Wait.
Wait. Let's see.
I got other news as well. If we go to Quebec.
Let's go to Quebec.
You want to go to Quebec? All right. Don't get exploded, because this lady, she was cleaning out her late father's house in Knowlton, Quebec, when she and I think it was her sister or sister-in-law, they came across, stepsister, they came across a live grenade in his tool room.
Okay.
Yeah. Not something you'd expect to find, right? When you're going through a house in the eastern townships.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is just my oddball news. They called the police, just the non-emergency provincial police line, and said, oh yeah, hey, we found a grenade in our late father's house that we think it might be live. We're not sure, but it's a grenade. We don't want to touch it. And so they were set. They were directed right over to the emergency line.
Mm-hmm.
The police there are like, yeah, you guys aren't touching it. And they're like, no, we don't want to deal with it. Send somebody to take care of it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent over an officer. Officer took a picture of it. And then they were told, well, the military has to come out to deal with it. This is not a police matter. So then like an army ordnance crew came over with an artillery case to deal with it.
Cool. Looks like it's so it was an actual live grenade.
It was an actual live grenade.
Okay, I was almost expecting a punchline where it was like a dildo or something.
No, it
was a live grenade.
And it's probably from World War II, because this guy's father was the one who originally had it.
I see.
Right?
Brought it home, huh?
Brought it home, war souvenir, right? Ended up going to his son when he died. And when his son died, well, his daughters had to take care of it.
I see. Well,
yeah,
you know,
me, if I found a grenade, I wouldn't want them to take it away. I'd want them to just, you know, remove the ordnance from it, but let me keep the disarmed grenade, right?
Son, this is the family grenade. Don't let women touch it. They'll call the cops.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's been on our family for generations.
I actually think somewhere I still have an old pineapple grenade that's been diffused and everything.
Ah, the pineapple
grenade. But I don't know where it is, and it was all rusted anyways.
I remember those from video games, and I'm even spacing. Was that a Vietnam era?
I don't remember.
I remember grenades and guns and stuff mostly because I used to play a lot of shooters. And
yeah, a lot of games they will use the design of the pineapple even when it's not appropriate.
Mm.
The pineapple grenade is meant to throw out a whole bunch of shrapnel in every direction, right? And in that sense, it is like totally an anti-personnel weapon, like a landmine would be. Now, the grenades that you see, like, being carried a lot of the times these days that are meant for, like, when you're dealing with bad guys indoors are concussion grenades. And they don't really do the whole, like, shrapnel thing as much as they cause overpressure in an area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can disable people without blowing them without necessarily blowing them to bits with concussion grenades, because what happens with a concussion grenade is instead of shooting like scraps of metal through somebody's body, it's like the shockwave that goes through your body when somebody double taps you with a 9mm, right? Without the actual bullets going through you. And you know how overpressure is. Mm-hmm. You must have learned about that in university.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Under pressure. Right?
Overpressure, over-pressure, not under pressure. Under pressure would be a lack of pressure.
Ooh, right?
But anyway, like okay. The overpressure, it'll fuck your organs, it'll fuck your brain, right?
Yeah.
And people can still die from one of those, right? If it happens close enough to you, because the shock on your organs from that sudden change in pressure just like fucks with you.
Yeah, those dogs and babies never stood a chance.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Servo actually put in a couple of links in the chat. One discussing the Mark II pineapple hand grenade, and one about the stock hand grenade used by the Germans from the 20s to the end of World War II.
I see.
Which was potato masher, right? It's the grenade on a stick that you throw.
The potato masher. Yes, the potato masher. Yes. I forgot about that thing.
You only see those in like actual like historic war games, right? Like the games about World War I and World War II where they were actually like commonly seen being used by the Germans, right?
Right.
Although the
original Medal of Honor,
yeah. In World War One, like both sides had the potato masher types.
Medal of Honor. I used to play some of those. The original Call of Duty back in like 1999 to 2005, where every single shooter was a World War II shooter.
Mm-hmm.
There was an era. It was the only thing people made. And then once in a while, someone would try and sneak a World War One game. It wouldn't sell. Only World War II shooters could sell for that for like half a decade.
Huh. So this article from this Internet Movie Firearms Database. Okay, that's why it's listing all these movies and anime. So the Model 24 still hand grenade, which is the German potato masher, it's been seen in Trigun, Helsing Ultimate, of course, Full Metal Alchemist.
Right.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 2.
Well, you skipped the top one.
Oh, yeah.
Lupin the Third.
Lupin 3, The Castle of Cagliostro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that.
That was an awesome movie.
I mean, like, I had to get to mentioning JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 2 with Von Stroheim.
That was the...
Girls on Panzer, Das Finale, well, Part 1.
Let me get this in. That's the Lupin the Third movie Miyazaki made. It's a fantastic movie. Well, not everyone knows that.
Well, Miyazaki made it. Of course it's a fantastic movie.
It was in Angel Beats? What? I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was in Strike Witches, Road to Berlin.
Yes, it was. I remember that one. Strike Witches just cornered the market on military hardware for that era, because people stopped putting, you know, correctly, you know, scaled and used military hardware. Now, they kind of... Strike Witches just kind of stretches it on correctly used, because they have characters with, I think, hand versions of some guns that were actually supposed to be mounted in airplanes.
They also wear plane parts on their feet and show off their pantsuit.
Well, they don't have pants.
Which is definitely not something that happened in World War II.
So they can't help it. They just, pants aren't allowed in that universe. It's forbidden. Verboten. The aliens basically
pants
stole...
Pants are verboten!
They stole, the aliens stole the pants, okay? It's about fighting aliens, guys.
Das pants are verboten! Turbo says, pants who create too much drag.
It is an absolutely awesome show, and everyone should watch it, and I'll never give up that position. It's one of the funnest animes I've ever watched.
You will die on that hill, if necessary.
The mainline, I'll say the mainline stuff is good. There's a couple of the filler shows that they're not good at all. Really bad.
But you still watched and enjoyed them.
Yeah, I watched some of them.
Come on, it's okay to admit your shames.
We're a supportive
co-host here.
The series Road to Berlin, which was the latest one, I remember we talked about this a lot on the show. I remember concluding that the Strike Witches finale had more emotional impact than it was some other show we were watching that year. I was like, yeah, that's how you know you fucked up. Strike Witches had a better dramatic arc.
But yeah, I remember the screen clips of General Patton.
Of General Patton. Oh man, they had an OVA series where Rommel shows up in an airplane and saves everyone. It's amazing.
Oh, hold on a second.
He does.
One of these screen caps on this wiki for Strike Witches Road to Berlin. One of the girls is pulling a revolver out of her panties.
Yes. What? Yeah, how it's did awesome.
She, I actually don't tell me. I don't want to know how she fit it there.
That was a great gag where she pulls. I gotta link this. Like, she pulls out. She's unarmed, and no one knows she's gonna confront the enemy.
She just literally pulls a revolver out of her ass.
Yeah, I gotta share that so people can see it. It was a hilarious gag on the show. Okay. They have no shame. They just know it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Who needs shame? It's anime! Right?
It was so good, man. Some people thought the show was over when boys started showing up. And at first, there were only girls inside the whole show. And they said, well, it's like it's a universe where there's no males at all. It's only cute girls. And then the boys started showing up, and I remember some people on 4chan were like disappointed.
Yeah, they're probably like the VTuber tourists who are like, male on stream, unsubscribed,
yeah,
downvoted,
exactly.
Raged on Twitter.
It's like you go into, you play in a visual novel, you open those voice menu, and you turn all the male voices off.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
that.
Oh God, Servo, nature's holster.
Nature's holster. Exactly. Absolutely fantastic. Everyone should watch Strike Witches. You gotta scroll through this, and when you know the characters, you know, like, some of these are based on real people. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much more fun. Real technology.
Yeah, I mean, they have General Patton in there, for Christ's sakes.
Yep. Alright, I did want to bring up a little follow-up to the Guinness World Record attempts we talked about earlier,
yeah,
right around the end of the year, beginning of the year. that were taking place in Ghana. And as a reminder, there were two Guinness World Record attempts. One was for the longest singing marathon, and it was supposed to be some ridiculous thing. It was going to start Christmas Eve and end like on New Year's Day. And I think from a technicality, they've announced that they declined to accept this attempt at the world record for some reason. And I haven't been able to get a clear answer on what the disqualifying moment was. So
you have a link to this?
No, I had a Twitter post that I've now lost of the lady who is attempting this on a talk show in Ghana. And she's discussing not only did they disqualify her, but they broke her contract, is what she claimed. She said that in the contract, they had certain rights about, you know, who could announce on social media the status of the contest and if they won, if they got, you know, the entry accepted or not. And anyway, Guinness World Records, they had it in writing that she had the rights to be kind of the first one to announce the results. And they went off and did it somewhere else without her. And so she's going this, saying, what the hell's going on? I presumed they had to front some money to do the attempt. So, you know, this is a little bit irritating. There's no news on it. I guess Ghana Web, I'm just seeing this.
I found on, like, the Pigeon BBC. Guinness World Records say Ghanaian singer Afua Asantewa singing marathon no day successful. Yep. Guinness World Records don't talk say did Ghana media personality we attempt the longest singing marathon for December 2023 no make successful. Afua Asantewa adu onum don sing for 126 hours 52 minutes during the Christmas period for the country. The attempt done trend for days where Ogbonge musicians and celebrities for the country done go the venue to support them. But after 2 months, Guinness World Records done write for Twitter say im attempt fail. For one response, dem write say, unfortunately, the singathon attempt never day successful, but we hope she go make another attempt soon.
Right. So these articles are newer. So I actually saw this on Twitter when it broke. And so some of these articles, maybe we should get one of these more recent ones in there.
This was from 23rd February.
Yeah, that was after I had the...
I found one from March 4th. Why Ghana fail to Abdul Razak fail to break Guinness World Cooking Record?
Yeah, okay. Let me bring up. There was a second world record attempt that was bookended. This one, I guess bookend is the wrong word. It came right after where they had another person in Ghana who was trying to do the longest marathon of cooking. And it was a chef who did a live stream cooking a bunch of dishes like 24/7. For a ridiculously long time, and I can't remember if that one was abandoned or if it was just submitted and rejected. It was a while since I've seen this. I think someone got hurt during it. But maybe you have more information.
I see for this one, I found another article about it on African News. Chief Falatu violated the rest break rules, her team said on Sunday, resulting in an unsuccessful attempt to break the record.
Okay.
A statement from the records management team cited a violation of the rest break rules, resulting in an unsuccessful attempt, said Kafue Day, the team coordinator.
Yeah. That one, I think, was more clear. I think people knew at the time that the cooking marathon was tanked.
Similar thing for the singing attempt. I found on musicinafrica.net. They say, however, Guinness World Records disclosed last week that... Adonum's attempt was not successful due to guidelines around rest break timings not being met, adding, these rules are standard across all of our longest marathon records. So there we go.
Yep, that's what they say. And I think it was clear for the cooking marathon when it happened that they had kind of gave up. But for the singing one, we listened to some of that audio, and it was pretty rough. You know, after 4 days... 3 days of singing nonstop. It was pretty harsh to listen to, but I think it was more of a surprise because some people left under the impression that that one was good. That was a good attempt. And maybe it was after reviewing the video, they found, you know, around midnight, one of the nights, someone slumped over too long.
Maybe they weren't resting enough. Maybe there's like some guidelines that says you need to have a minimum amount of rest as well as a maximum.
Yeah. Well, I think this whole thing was a stunt by the new PR, like tourist PR lady that they had in Ghana. So it's interesting. And
yeah.
Carblane says she was a champ, and yeah, she was. And I still...
She holds the record in our hearts, at least.
She had, I think, a fair complaint, which she was bringing up, which she said, even if she didn't succeed, she had the rights, and they were supposed to have the published rights for the announcement, and they broke the story in a bunch of places, and she never got a chance. And it had some, the story had something to do with, oh, well, you know, we sent you a private message on our website, and you had to log into the website to see it, and, you know, you should have known that you had to reset your password.
Bullshit.
Yeah, so it sounds like they had to wait on her to announce it, and they didn't, so whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that might be it. I mean, we're getting to the end here. Did you see the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow?
No. How would I? I'm not in Scotland.
It is a. It was a meme for a hot minute. It was more relevant last week, but yeah, we'll get a sound clip or something later. No, they had. It was a kids' event where you could pay to go through. Like a tunnel that's supposed to simulate that crazy tunnel they do in the movie. And they had some new characters that were unknown to the Wonkaverse, including a guy named the Unknown. Perhaps this shows up in another Roald Dahl book. I don't think it is. It felt like something they made up for the...
sound like it.
They made up. It's this guy hiding behind a mirror. And there is just a couple seconds of the Wonka character... You know, it's a cell phone video of people at this quote unquote experience. And he goes, oh, what's that? Oh, it's the Unknown.
There's an article here from Screen Rant. The character went viral as it was a young actress wearing a black cloak and a silver mask who was hiding behind a mirror.
Yes.
The Unknown isn't a character from Roald Dahl's books, nor any of the Willy Wonka movies made so far. And instead, it was an original creation for the event.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. The videos and the memes of the sad Oompa Loompa.
The script for the event was all generated by, like, AI?
No, that was a movie. That was a movie. Someone took that character and used AI to generate a movie script.
No, it's... attendees of the Willy Wonka experience weren't the only ones who were scammed, as so were the actors hired for the event. The actors were shocked when they arrived at the place and none of the props and special effects they were promised to bring their characters to life were there. Actors did what they could with what they had to make the situation less terrible for the children, and among the Willy Wonkas and Oompa Loompas was a character named the Unknown. The actors were given an AI-generated script that they described as gibberish.
Oh, shoot.
And it offers details about the Unknown. That sounds like...
I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
So they have... I thought you were talking about... Someone has a horror movie based on the Unknown character that they have an AI script built for. I didn't realize that the actual event was an AI scripted thing. That's crazy. Yeah,
it sounds like the level of organization for this rivals DashCon. it's like reading through that, like, what was actually, like, nothing being available for the people actually doing this, like, what, are they going to give the actors an extra hour in the ball pit, too?
Someone peed in the ball pit. Also, you need to look up the Willy Wonka experience and see, just do an image search on that. So look for the sad Oompa Loompa. It's pretty awesome.
I have to actually, like, put in experience, I suppose, because sad Oompa Loompa is going to bring up, like, a lot of unrelated stuff, too.
Yeah, you could probably do a Twitter search, too. A lot of this went viral. You know, Willy Wonka experience will get you there. They've got really the sad Oompa Loompa, the dumb props. It's pretty fun. Da, 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 da. If you can find the little clip of the guy, of the Unknown jumping out, it's pretty good.
Yeah, this... Oh, I saw this picture, yeah, with, like, with like a woman who looks like a depressed Oompa Loompa with a science set.
Yeah, and I just posted
a chemistry set.
Someone made a Lego set version of that, and it's on Twitter. So I posted that. You can take a look.
Somebody did a chalkboard image of it, by the look of things.
It's the unknown. It's pretty fun. The fan art's good.
Oh my god, yeah. The fan art's awful. Oh my god, somebody even did a video on YouTube that starts off with what I was saying. It's like sad ass Wonka event, DashCon 2.0.
Yes.
Oh my god.
check out this fan art. I just posted it in the IRCs. You'd see that?
Hold on, which one?
The last one I posted. I said, oh wow, and I posted a link.
Something went wrong. Try refreshing. a painting
of a kid throwing
oh
up.
Oh my god! It's the sad chemistry set Oompa Loompa woman holding a vomit bag for a kid who's like projectile vomiting.
Blarg.
What the fuck?
Into his Whack Donald's.
Into the Whack Donald's bag.
It is bad.
Glass cow. Lego glass. Willy's World of Sadness.
It's fantastic. So I thought maybe you'd enjoy that. I'm surprised you didn't see anything.
To get the most realistic look, sunbleach all the decorations.
Good morning, Britain. What? Good morning, Britain has the Oompa Loompas.
Oh, God.
No. Yeah. Maybe we'll get a clip for next time. I promise I will get a clip for next time.
You have to.
They have an interview with the Oompa Loompas. Wow. Actually, it's a minute. I'm going to send it to you in the back channel. You want to just play the sound and we'll see what the hell it is?
Okay.
I sent it in your IRC back channel.
Yeah, let's open this up.
We'll
let's
listen to the interview. Up. See what happens. I can't.
Load.
Acting seems really up my alley. I could smash it. Like, I would do so good. And I'm bringing joy to children. Like, it's just everything I need at once. And then
the reality.
There so wasn't even a chocolate bar in sight.
So when you got there in the day, there wasn't a chocolate bar in sight.
Yeah.
What did you think? I mean, we're looking at the pictures from it. It's
oh my god! It is DashCon 2.0.
It's sparse. Put it that way.
Oh, more sparse.
And were you embarrassed?
Like a folding table with like little plastic cups like of apple candy. Juice.
Yes, I was very embarrassed. It was. Oh my goodness! I was in front of all of these people and.
There's a ball pit with like, no wow, balls in
so
it.
So enthusiastic, but it was because I didn't want to be there in the first
and
place.
And you didn't know, did you?
No.
You knew what they didn't know, that when they got inside, it was going to get even worse. Kirsty and Jenny, you knew because you were facing it. And I know, Kirsty, that
oh my God, the one who was the sad chemistry set, Oompa Loompa, she's got like this cocaine smile in this video clip. She's like fucking yeah.
like she's
about to mongol my cock.
Cocaine
to distract from this.
So my motto in life is literally just make the best out of worst situation. So that's what all I could do, and I could think all the kids and the parents could all vouch for me. And I was doing cartwheels at the start, but then when he went abandoned the script, I was stuck behind the jelly bean bit. Handing about one jelly bean and then we ran out of jelly beans. So
I was stuck behind the jelly bean.
So when that picture got took, that was when I hit my point of like, what's going on here? What am I doing with my life? Which can resonate with a lot of people because we've all actually done a job that we don't like to do because we have to.
Who hasn't been stuck behind a jelly bean?
So now they know how it is for the rest of us.
Stuck behind a jelly bean. All right, I think we gotta leave it there. It's not gonna get any better than that.
I think we've covered the past 2 weeks pretty well.
I think they were supposed to fill that ball pit with jelly beans. That's what I think.
Maybe.
That's what I would have done.
We got a guest next week, by the way.
Oh, who do we got?
Yeah, Zalman's coming in.
Awesome.
I was finally able to rope him in.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. So yeah, bring your crypto news.
All right. Till next time. I've been Abel Kirby.
I've been Cold Acid.
Stay fruity, boys.
Adios.
But you lay down, honey, and died. Oh, I had a good woman. But she lay down.